Glory to God. Amen.
I just got Nancy upset with me. I did. When I started to interrupt the conversation and stuff, she's looking at me, no, no, no. How dare you? No, not there, Nancy. Amen. Glory to God. I want to read a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to do something just a little bit out of order, but I want to do it. I'm going to be reading from 1 John chapter 4. I want to start at verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And before we do that, let's just pray. Father God, thank you right now for the promise of your word. Thank you for the goodness of your love, the abundance. And I thank you, God, that you're a miracle-working God. You do the miraculous. You do the supernatural. And I thank you, Father, that your abilities go way beyond natural means. Father, we run into the end of what we can do in the natural really pretty quick. And then there you are, able to do the supernatural. Able just to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that which we could think or imagine. And we just thank you, Father, and we release faith right now in your love, in your ability, in your goodness, in your desire to give. And we also thank you for what you've already done. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I ran across a verse of Scripture this week while I was reading, and it's one of those that's just too good to not share, you know, so I want to share it. And it's found in not the gospel, but 1 John chapter 4, and it's going to be verses 17 and 18. And now I'm going to be reading out of the Message Bible. It'll read a little bit different. So if you want to get the most out of it, I know people are looking it up and everything, but if you try to read it and listen to me as I read this one, it'll sound confusing. So I'm just going to exhort you to listen to the translation that I'm reading, because there are just some really cool things in there. So you can just kind of sit and absorb it. 1 John chapter 4, 17 and 18, out of the Message translation. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we are free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. A well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one yet fully formed in love. I just think about that, and I think how cool. You know, permanent residence in love. We live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. I just like that. You know, sometimes we'll say that with children, you know, that, well, they just got the run of the house. Well, I think it's better if love has the run of the house. Amen. Just let love have the run of the house. And then the fact that love banishes fear. And when our lives are mature in Christ, there's just no place for that fear. Amen. Praise God. I want to do something that I don't forget. I'm going to ask people that are over, like, in this part of the church to be willing to stand up. We're just going to lay hands on Al. Sharon said, you make sure you lay hands on Al and pray for Al, because he's just got pain. I don't know. Is it in your back, Al? Is that what it is? We're just going to, how many of you just let the love of God, the healing power of God work right now in Al's body? Amen. So let's just go ahead. You get around him. God's a God of the supernatural. He's a God of the miraculous. Hallelujah. Father God, people come to church to receive. Oh, we praise you, Father God, right now in Jesus' name. And Father, out of simple obedience, we do what the Word tells us to do. We do what Jesus told us to do. You said we lay hands on the sick, and the sick get well. And Father, so in simple obedience, because we have faith in what you've said, God, we have faith in what Jesus Christ did. So we lay hands on this body right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the healing power. Father, and whatever's going on in that back, Father, whatever it is with the nerves and with muscles, Father, just whatever's going on, thank you that you're the healer. You're the healer. Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, came to this world, and by his stripes we were healed. So we thank you and proclaim what you've already done to be Al's in his body right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Turn and smile at somebody. Give them a high five and say, I'm glad I'm here today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I actually don't have any notes today. Yesterday, as I was preparing and getting ready and praying and meditating, well, actually, I have to back up. Thursday, what's going on up there? Is that, it just won't shut off? It just... See, I had to look because everybody's eyes were up there. And we were talking about this earlier. That's okay, Teresa. That is so okay. You were getting my attention, right? Yeah. Oh, praise God. But I have to back up to Thursday morning prayer time. I just love prayer time. And Thursday morning, we're praying. And God, he changed my message again. I was going to be talking about finances again this Sunday, which I was going to be talking about last Sunday, which I didn't, which I won't today. But he put something in my heart as I was praying, and it ties in with what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights for those that have been here on Wednesday night. So they're going to kind of all blend together, and I'll do my best to make sure everybody's caught up and on the same page and all of that. But on Wednesday nights, we've been talking a little bit about a culture of honor, a culture of forgiveness, a culture of restoration. We've just been talking about what do we want Living Outreach Church to be like? When people walk in here, and they encounter us, they encounter this church, they encounter the presence of God, what do we want them to encounter? How many of you in your home, okay, Ernie and Kathy, do you guys ever want to set a certain atmosphere for your bed and breakfast? When people walk in, you want them to get a certain sense, and it's important to you. Dorothy had Dorothy's dots, and same thing. Wanted to have the atmosphere right. Wanted people to come in and encounter something specifically. Not just haphazard, not just whatever, but something specifically. And I want that for our church. Now, people come in, and I've heard testimonies of joy and testimonies of a place of peace and all those things. And praise God, there's a lot of things that we want people to encounter when they come in. And I was praying on Thursday morning, and I was just praying about forgiveness. Just praying about forgiveness and restoration. And the Lord dropped something in my heart. And it wasn't words or anything like that. It was just a little picture and then like a thought went with it. And it was just, there was this light, and it was bright. And then it just, what it did is it just grew. And the Lord put in my heart that we, at this church, can grow something on purpose that keeps growing and actually goes around the world and impacts people. Amen? We have visitors this morning. Would you guys just do me a favor real quick? Just quickly, raise your hand and tell me where you're from. Just real fast. Baltimore, Maryland. Omaha, Nebraska. Just moved here. From where? From Spearfish. Look at that. Pennsylvania.
Well, Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield, California now. Okay.
I'd like to welcome my son and daughter.
Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Just look at that. We got people from all over. There's a letter. You ought to read it. I think it's still up in the foyer. Some folks from Texas that were here this summer. And just a thank you letter. We get to impact people that come from all over the United States and actually come from other countries in this church. And what do we want them to encounter, and what do we want them to take with? And God wants to grow something. He wants it to grow. And we're going to do our part in it growing. Amen? We're going to do our part, but he wants this to grow. And so I'm going to be talking about, that's how all of this got started this morning. And take, if you would, please, and go to Colossians chapter 3. No. You got to go to Luke chapter 15. Like I said, I don't have any notes, and I'm purposing to listen in my heart as we go along. And I think I'll get this right. Believing I will. But this is a carryover from last week, the board and all the scriptures that's on it and what's underneath and everything. But the title for today's message is this. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? And it ties in with what I've been talking about, how our thoughts will take us places. Amen? How many of you know you can encounter a situation and that situation will automatically create in your mind, create in your thinking, create in your emotion something, and you've been there before, amen? You know, Terry and I were talking earlier, and there's certain things that when I would encounter them, they would take me right to anger. Amen. How many of you have ever had somebody do you wrong, and that took you right to anger and unforgiveness? So my question is, you know, for us to ask, you know, when you have thoughts and when you have feelings and when you have things come up on the inside of you and when you encounter certain circumstances and situations, just stop and ask the question, where are you taking me? How many of you just want to let something take you wherever it wants to take you? You don't want to do that. So what we need to do is we need to stop and just kind of, whoa, where are you taking me? Maybe I don't want to go there. See, then let me share this with you. Do you know God wants to take you some places that you might not want to go? And we're going to look at two people today, and three actually, and this fits in with part of what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. So those of you that are here and you've got the last couple Wednesday nights, praise God, you get to get it again, and we get to share some of this stuff with others. But Luke chapter 15, I'm just going to read. I'm going to start at verse 12. Nope, verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Just make note of that. What did he ask for? He asked for the portion that fell to him. That's what he asked for. So he divided to them his livelihood. So what's the father do? He doesn't just give to the younger son. He divides to them what falls to them. He divides. So, verse 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Highlight that right there. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But, everybody say, but. The father said. Now, did the son get to finish saying everything he wanted to say? The son didn't even get to fully complete his repentance. He didn't even get to fully say, Dad, I'm sorry. This is what I want you to do. Okay? He interrupted him. The father just flat interrupted him. And look at what the father does. Verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. I loved that they played that song this morning. We sang that song this morning. You know, he came running down the road with a robe and a ring. Amen. How God longs to be with us. But the father said to the servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Number of different things. I started to say, where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? That thought, where are you taking me? We need to ask that question lots of times, I believe, as we go through our day. You know, where are you taking me? I can bring up an area for me where situations can take me places that aren't good to go. How many of you can relate to driving? And somebody in a vehicle around you takes you somewhere. I'll never forget, I was at a Greg Laurie event up in Rapid City. It was a great time. People got saved, you know, about 5,000-6,000 people there. We were worshiping God and singing, and I'm driving our little MR2, little sports-like car. It's actually just a big go-kart is what it is, and it hops when you go down the road. It bounces because the suspension is tight and everything, and I came down Reptile Gardens, and I started up that long hill, and there's a Chevy pickup in front of me, and I'm going up, and I get to the top of the hill, and I go to pass this vehicle, and then the person in the vehicle speeds up and stays right beside me. I'm like, ah, and then I go to slow down. He slows down, and I look over at him, and he's waving at me. He's really ticked at me. He is, and I try to speed up. Now, remember, I'm in a great mood. I just came from a Christian concert. And this guy, he speeds up. Well, can I tell you something? He began to take me somewhere. I'm trying to figure, and then I'm thinking, this guy's really mad at me. He won't let me get behind him. He speeds up. He won't let me pass him. What is going on? What did I do to this guy? How did I tick this fellow off? It was funny, one day I had a friend, and he's involved with stuff, and I said, what would you do in a situation like that? He goes, I'd roll down my window and put a round right over his hood. He was just joking, okay? But I'm trying to figure this out. So I get my cell phone out, and I hold my cell phone up, and I'm like,
I'm going to call. That didn't change. He held his sun phone up. He's like, so am I. And I can't figure out what I did. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to start flying down the highway. But then I get, no, that's not good. Then I get a ticket. I'm going to pull over and talk to him. Maybe that's the best not. There's like no good scenario. Finally, we get away from each other. And I'm trying to think. Here's the whole thing. That experience took me somewhere emotionally. Having been in a good mood, just got done worshiping God, now I'm trying to figure out what the heck. See, things can take us places. They can take us places, but I don't know that I want to go where they want to take me. And sometimes I don't know that I want to go where God wants to take me. I figured out what the guy was so ticked off about. I finally figured it out. One day when I was driving behind a vehicle, that car hops, and at nighttime, those headlights would hop up, and it looked like I was flashing him constantly in his rearview mirrors. That's what it was. He thought I was just sitting back there just flashing him off and on, and it was just the car hopping. Now, I would have liked to explain that to him. I'm sure he'd have bought that story, but it's the truth, and I'm sticking with it, okay? Anyway, so I figured out what it was that ticked him off. Now, I'm a little bit mindful of that. I don't stay 3 feet behind everybody's car anymore. No, I'm kidding. That's not true either. But things can take us where we don't want to go. And I want to say this. God will take you where you want to go. God will take you places you don't want to go. Now, notice this. I asked this question. You got this younger son, and he doesn't fully get to repent. He says in verse 19, the last part, make me like one of your hired servants. But instead, what does the father do? Best robe, ring on his hands, sandals on his feet, kill the fatted calf, start a party. How many in here have ever sinned, you've blown it, and you ask God for forgiveness, and your emotions automatically want to go into, yay, party, let's be merry. How many of you, your emotions want to stay under guilt? And sometimes we think, I have to do some penance. Amen? I think this younger son got to where he just started partying. He just started making merry. And how many of you know, when Jewish people make merry, it's not calm. You ever seen Jewish people have a good time? A bar mitzvah? You ever just seen them celebrate? They know how to have a good time. There's noise and there's singing and there's dancing and there's clapping. These guys can have a good time. But don't you suppose that younger son maybe had to get past some things to get there? How many times when we've asked God for forgiveness have we had to get past some feelings and some condemnation and stuff like that to get in and just celebrate with the Father? What did the Father want him to do? What did this Father, who is a perfect example of God, perfect picture of God, what did he want this younger son to do? Come on in, son. Did you catch this line? I'm jumping ahead. Verse 32, the first part of that, it was right that we should make merry. It was right. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Go ahead and say this. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to make merry. Amen. It's the right thing to do. You know what that tells me? If it was the right thing to do, then to not do it would be wrong. Think about that a little bit. To not do it would be wrong. That younger son would have been wrong if he didn't just step in and start celebrating. How many of you know he had to work through some stuff? How many of you in here have ever had to work through some stuff? Your emotions wanted to take you someplace other than where God wanted you to go. What do you want to follow? Where God wants you to go? Or where your emotions want to take you. And how many of you have learned your emotions cannot always be trusted? Amen. Amen? They can't always be trusted. Now,
What about the older son? Back up to verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. They were having a good time. He could hear it outside. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Let me just ask you a question. I'll finish reading the verse first. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. What does his father want him to do? Come in and party. Come in and make merry. But he wouldn't. And so what's the father have to do? Father had to go plead with him. And I just like to ask this question. It lends itself. Does the father ever have to plead with us to forgive somebody? He does. And as a pastor who's been in a community for over 25 years now in this church, can I share with you something? One of the most destructive things that has brought damage to the church is the sin of unforgiveness. Not necessarily the sin that precipitated it, but the sin of unforgiveness. The sin of unforgiveness has brought more damage and more division. And you know what I can tell you? I've pleaded with people. Come on. Forgive. Come in and celebrate. And I've watched people move from like this seat to that seat, to that seat, to that seat. And then, where did they go? Oh, now I don't get to see them anymore. And you know what? Going to a different place didn't really deal with unforgiveness. I can't do anything about those past things. Amen. How many of you can do anything about those past things? I can't. I can't back up and change them. I still pray for people. I will still pray for people. And part of my prayer is this, for people who have chosen not to forgive, I pray for them. I pray for them. And I want to be like the Father. I want to look. And then someday someone come walking in. Amen. And you know what I'm going to do? Where's the robe? Where's the ring? Where's the sandals? Let the fatted calf. Let's party. Amen. That's what I want. When we're talking about culture of our church, it's a place of forgiveness. It's a place where we forgive people. Amen. Okay, this is just where we're going right now. I want to share a story. I shared it on Wednesday night. Oh, 15 years ago, we did a series, and it was called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. And it was about friendship evangelism and how the church world needs to get outside the four walls of the church and reach people out in the community. And one of the ways to do that is by just friendship, become a friend with people. And something really unusual happened at the last meeting of that, because what we did the last meeting was a meal. And we had a meal downstairs, and we had these guidelines for conversation. The only way you could start a conversation was by asking another person at the table a question, and it had to do with their coming to Christ, had to do with their salvation. Couldn't start a conversation by just telling about your day. It had to be a question about their Christian walk, how they came to know Jesus Christ. So the conversation gets going, and it worked well. It was wonderful. But the table we were at had seven of us. There were two people that had different testimonies, mine and George Christmas. And George's testimony was this. I think George's testimony is just crazy. George went to a Baptist church for 5 years, worked in the children's ministry and helped out and all of that. Everybody say Baptist church. You know what Baptists are really good at? Sharing the gospel and getting people to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That Baptist church is really good at that. And George went there for 5 years. Then they moved and they started going to an Assembly of God church. And he went there for a year and he worked in the sound booth and helped out with video and all of that stuff and everything. And every Wednesday night, the pastor would give an invitation. There was always three things on that invitation: get born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit, or get healed. So George comes up and he gets in front of the pastor, and the pastor's, "What are you looking for, George?" And George is, "Oh, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Now, what had he been doing for a year in that church and 5 years in a Baptist church? Helping out and serving. But George finally decided, you know, if I'm actually going to do this, I might as well really do it. How many of you think that's a bit different of a testimony? I do. Okay? But then, to keep going, so there was George's and there was mine, and then there's the other five people at the table. The other five people at the table all had grown up in church and then left church. And every one of those five people had testified that while they were away from church, they believed they had committed the unpardonable sin and that they could never be forgiven. And my thought was this: if five out of seven people at our table have that running around the inside of them, how many people are in our community who believe a lie that the devil has told them? That they've committed the unpardonable sin? Can I ask a question? Do you think it's possible that in churches today there's people that respond like the older brother? How are we going to respond? That's my question. How are we going to respond? What's our heart? When somebody walks in who we know has blown it and has messed up, and as I say that, how many of you can think of people? How many of you can think of people as I say that? What would you do if they walked in? And maybe what they did was offense to you. What would you do? See, this older son had emotions taking him somewhere that was opposite of where God wanted him to go. You know, I just think, where are you taking me? Here's one of the things that I want from this church: that we are a church of love and forgiveness and restoration. And when people are hurting and broken and they can fight past all the stuff that keeps them out of church, that when they come into church, they are loved on. They are loved on. And we have such a party. We have such a celebration that they almost think, you know, I'm not worthy of all of that. But you know what? They are. They're worthy of all of that. Romans chapter 4, I think this will be the last verse of the day. Are you guys okay? You okay? You know what? Just that simple question. Can you see what I'm talking about from the scriptures today? Where things try to take us somewhere, and maybe they don't want to let us to go where God would like to take us. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? Just to think about that. Can I share another story? And I know it's going to be a repeat story, but I don't know how to not do it. I know I shared it on Wednesday night. And for those of you who are visiting, this is for you guys. Down in Rushville, we had this couple come into church. Indian couple. And it was about the third time they'd been in church, and it was on a Wednesday night. I know some of you have heard this, but it's worth it anyway. It'll fit here. And they just raised their hand and said, "Pastor, can we say something?" I thought they were just going to say something from their chair. But yeah, you can say something. And they both get up, husband and wife, come up, stand in front of the pulpit, and they look back and forth at each other. They look at me, and they look at the congregation. And pretty soon the wife goes, I just want you guys to know that I've had an affair on my husband. What do you think happened to the atmosphere of our church? What just took place? It got heavy. And I'm standing over here going, they never taught me what to do about this down at Rhema. It never came up in class. I had no clue what to do. And I've been pastoring for a little over a year. You know, it's still wet behind the ears. I had no idea what to do. And I'm trying to figure out what's my next move, because I can feel the atmosphere and stuff. And I just looked and I go, have you asked for forgiveness? Yeah, I have. Said to the husband, have you forgiven her? Yeah, I have. I just said, you know what? We don't have anything against you. We love you. You're forgiven. God has forgiven you. And then I invited the congregation to come up and hug on them and love on them. But maybe half the congregation came up. The other half didn't. The atmosphere didn't change. It stayed heavy. Do you know what? I know what God wanted that night. I know what he wanted. You know what he wanted? He wanted forgiveness. This is what he wanted in that verse of scripture, the last one. It is right that we would make merry. I tell you what, sometimes the more you will celebrate and rejoice with somebody who's come back to the Lord, it might just blow them away. Totally blow them away. And help them get past all that condemnation and shame and guilt that Satan's dumping on them. Amen. How many of you ever been there? We've all been there. We've all been at, well, I don't deserve it. We know that. Turn and look at somebody and say, you're right. You don't deserve it. But you know what? God loves so much. I like to say this. God's love is greater than our sin. Amen. His love is greater than my sin. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And sometimes we need to make merry and we need to party so hard that it just shuts the devil up. Yeah, but they don't deserve it. Neither did you, and that's not the point. The point is, it's right. That's the point. It's right. Amen. And you know, I so desperately want, and the mood didn't change, and then I tried to preach. How good do you think that sermon was? I have no clue what it was. It went to the end of the pulpit and fell right on the floor. That's how far it made it right there. There was a little puddle, and that was my sermon. It's a blob. It's a mess. You don't even know what it looks like anymore. I was like, what's that? Don't even recognize it. And then God still wanted the atmosphere to lighten up. So then, since the sermon went so well, I thought, well, let's pray for people, you know. And this couple in the church, Bat and Patty Puyer, were going through a huge deal on the reservation. They were just in the thick of it. And names are Bat and Patty. And they're in the middle of it. Now, you got to listen carefully. This was my prayer. God, you know what Bat and Fatty are going through. Yeah. Guess what happened to the atmosphere? It lightened up, man. People started laughing. I got to laughing so hard I was actually rolling on the floor laughing. And people are laughing and their tears are in their eyes. They're laughing so hard. And as I'm laying on the floor laughing, I can hear Patty say, it's fine as long as it doesn't stick. And Patty actually finished the prayer. That's what God was looking for. Do you know, that's what I want us to be as a church. When people come in and the world has beat them up and the enemy has beat them up, we love on them and we celebrate with them and we rejoice with them. Amen? One of the things that I want to ask, you know, where do you want to take me? We've all seen people who've blown it. We've blown it ourselves. You know, we run into those situations and we see people like that and our feelings maybe want to take us where the older brother is.
There's so many things that are interesting. This son of yours. Did you notice he wouldn't even refer to him as his brother? This son of yours. Where are you going to take me? Because sometimes things want to remind us of past wrongs and things like that. No. You know where I'm going? I'm going to forgiveness. I'm going to restoration. I'm going to restore. There's a verse of scripture, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. I'll quit with this one. Will you just remember that phrase, please? Take it with you this week. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? Just when things come up, when things happen in your day, where are you taking me? Are you taking me where God wants me to go? Or are you taking me the opposite place? Are you taking to me to forgiveness? Or are you taking me to bitterness and unforgiveness? Where are you taking me? Question, boy, I tell you what, you could ask that a lot of times during the course of the day. Where are you taking me? Romans chapter 4. No. Romans chapter 2. I think I said it right the first time. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Jeez! Wow. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? What leads to repentance? The goodness of God. You know what I need to be extending to people? His goodness. Because what does that do? It leads to repentance. How many of us, you know, you want to see people repent. You want to see friends come back to the Lord. You want to see people step out of bad choices and bad decisions. And you want to see them come back. What leads to that happening? The goodness of God? Yeah, working in and through who? Working in and through us. And can you just imagine? I think about Lorraine Thomas down in Rushville. Apparently, I'm going back quite a bit. But her testimony was she was in the church long before I got there, and she's still a dear friend today. Prays for our kids on a regular basis, calls me about once a year, tells me what's going on in her world and wants to know about the kids and stuff. Just an amazing lady, leader in the church, pillar in the church down there. And her testimony was when Dave Nicholas was the pastor down there, she goes, I came into this church broken. Bleeding, just life. She had just went through a divorce that she did not want to go through. And she was beat to high heaven. Just, and she came into that church and was radically loved on and restored. Amen. So, hallelujah. God, your goodness flows through me. Your goodness flows through me. So, I saw a person who I had, no better way to do it, cut off. You ever done that? You ever cut somebody off? I don't mean cut them off on the highway. I mean, I'm done. I'm done. You're on your own. I know. I shouldn't do that. I know. I've repented. And God's forgiven me. Saw him the other day. You know what happened? They actually physically looked different than before I had repented. Their countenance and everything was different. I wonder if it was they or I that was different. I think it was probably I. I think I had a different set of lenses that I was viewing them with. I was viewing them with the lens of compassion, with the lens of mercy, with the lens of the goodness of God. You think that had any difference on my response, my reaction to them? Big time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know you've sinned. You know you've blown it. And the Father was good to you. The Father was good to you. You realize, oh, Jesus, you came running from heaven to this world so that I could be forgiven of my sin. Amen? See, if you're in this place and you've never done that, maybe your emotions, maybe things that the devil has told you, that the things the world has told you, that church is goofy, Jesus isn't real, all these things thoughts have run through your head, and maybe you have thoughts like, well, church is boring. Christianity is boring. You can't have any fun. Do you know that is an amazingly big lie? I've had far more fun since being a Christian than before. And I could party with the best of them before, but man, I didn't know how good partying was until I met God. Now don't all partying with God. Well, of course, isn't that what they did? I mean, God wants to take me somewhere. God wants to take you somewhere. And it all begins with that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, oh my gosh, what opens up in front of us? If you're in this building, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd invite you to do so today. I'd invite you to receive Jesus Christ, just to ask him to forgive you and to walk through life with you and to show you what he has for you, because it's good. Ask the rich kid, ask the younger son. Was it good for him? Was repentance good for him? Oh, yeah, when the people around respond, right? Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay up front here. I won't be in the back shaking hands and greeting people, but I'm going to stay up front here and be ready to pray for people that want prayer. If you're in this building and if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come on up. I'll pray with you. If you want healing in your body, if you want anything like that, you just want someone to stand with you in agreement about direction and wisdom, something like that, I'd love to pray with you. And so I'm looking around, and boy, all the folks that are normally up here are gone. Could you imagine how full it would be if they were here? Ooh, call them up and tell them, Pastor missed you today. He had to do your job. He had to work extra hard today. You need to get back. So, amen. Folks are off doing things. Brian Beam's son's getting married and other things are going on. But the altar is open. Love to pray with you. We're going to sing this song, say a prayer, and you are free to slip out as soon as the worship team starts singing. You want to come up here for prayer, come on up. Let's all pray right now. Father God, thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for being so good to us, Father God. We just worship you, we praise you, and we love you. Father, that your heart would continue to work its way into us more and more, into our thinking, into our believing, into our responding to people around us, God. Just thank you. Just thank you, Father God, for your love for this world. And Jesus, you didn't come into the world to condemn the world. You came so that the world through you would be saved. As a church family, we want to introduce you to people who have never met you. And we want people who have once known you but then fell away to be reacquainted. We want to be a church where people come in and they experience the goodness of you, the mercy of you, the love of you, the miraculous of you. Thank you, Father. And God, as we bring this service to a close, thank you for each and every person that was here. May your mercy just flood each and everybody's heart. It's brand new this morning, God. Flood each and every heart. Bring encouragement. Bring just energy and passion and desire to live a life of serving and walking with you and the joys that go with it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can sing with us. You can come up for prayer. You can head on out.